called another job in Brooklyn. It was the middle of the money making part of a busy Saturday night, and I was deadheading back to the city after a run to Coney Island in the drizzling rain. Day after a great run down Flatbush Avenue, had to stop at the last light before the Manhattan Bridge. Another job in Brooklyn. Stuck here in Brooklyn. I guess he'd been leaning against the building to stay out of the rain when he dashed out of the shadows, got in and said, "Look, turn right." I start to meet her and grumble, "Oh shit, another job in Brooklyn. Another job in Brooklyn. Background here. I was a Manhattan fleet driver, one of the thousands of kids from the Midwest that had come to the city to do some theater, play some music, take pictures, play at being hip. Yeah, we drove cab because once you had your hack license, it was pretty much a no commitment type job. It also meant that in Brooklyn, Queens, or the Bronx, we were essentially lost, and would head back to Manhattan as fast as possible whenever we got a job out of the city. The year was 1973. Harlem, the South Bronx, and Bed-Stuy were still reeling from the race riots only 5 years earlier. The city was heading towards bankruptcy, and Blue Magic, that Burmese heroine, ruled the streets, tore the social fabric. Another job in Brooklyn. Yeah, here in Brooklyn. As we headed up Flushing Avenue, past the Naval Yard, he says, "Turn right under the L." Welcome to Bedford-Stuyvesant. Although I did not know that's where I was at the time, I did know that I'd never been there before, and I was the only white guy. We continued on for several blocks. When I hollered back, "Hey, well then what?" And no answer. "Hey, what am I supposed to do?" No answer. When I get to the first traffic light, I stop, look around, and see why. Another job in Brooklyn. Yeah, another job in Brooklyn. Over when I come to the first well-lighted neighborhood. Yelling at the large, well-dressed black man is sleeping in the back of my taxi. I am mad. I am scared. Stopping the meter, I get out, walk around to the other side, open the back door, order him to pay up and get out. He wakes slowly. Climbs out of the cab. "Relax, buddy. Let me show you around. Go ahead and park that thing. I'll buy you a drink." He heads across Broadway and into a bar. I could only follow. As we walk in and sit at the bar, the bartender hollers, "Scotch and milk." He say, yeah, I make that a double. I got white boy carrying me home tonight. Another job in Brooklyn. Yeah, here in Brooklyn. This guy clearly knows everyone here, and they are carrying on. I don't remember at all what they were talking about, except his stomach ulcer, and that's why he's drinking scotch and milk. Wow. I no longer feared for my personal safety. I was wondering if I was actually going to get paid for this trip. I was done with my beer. I was ready to go, and I definitely had a bad attitude when I finally got up to leave. Now it's music that I noticed first. Two doors down as we left the bar. Yeah. Now I was leaving as we headed through the open door of the storefront. Sometime Pentecostal church. The sign was hand scrawled on a piece of plywood. It was a bare room with a couple dozen folding chairs. Yeah, the same color green as the bar. But here the paint was chipping. In the corner a guy played a tattered trap set with a broken cymbal. The kid played a silver tone bass guitar. Guitar with only five strings was being played by an old man. He might have been the bass player's dad. The preacher hollered over all this with a tambourine in her hand. The entire congregation danced in a circle on stage, except for a few old folks in the chair.
Another job in Brooklyn.